Y'all are stirred up tonight. Somebody is. Somebody here on the second row around this area. Right here. I love it. 1988 was the year, and I was in fourth grade at Gateway Elementary School, and a police officer came in our classroom. He was wearing a black uniform with the gold badge, the standard uniform that would strike terror in the hearts of fourth grade 9-year-old children. And so we began to quickly wonder who's in trouble. We started looking around, pointing fingers like, what'd you do, man? What was going on? And then he had the audacity to start talking about drugs. Drugs. And so I thought, was this the day that my brother brought those Flintstone vitamins to school and was going to really get hammered for it, you know? Started talking about drugs. So in the late 1980s, as a child, and those of you who grew up in the 80s and early 90s would remember that we were exposed to DARE, D-A-R-E. Anybody remember DARE? Anybody know what that stands for? You got the drug part right. Drug abuse resistance education. Drug abuse resistance education. And I still remember one of the major tactics that they taught us in fourth grade, and it was probably fourth, fifth grade and beyond, and they taught us about how to resist. It is drug abuse resistance education, and so they taught us how to resist, and you probably remember one of those tenets. Does anybody remember any tenets from just say no? There it is. Okay. So this phrase, just say no, a little history from our friends at Wikipedia. This phrase, just say no, emerged in 1982. Anybody know who coined the phrase? First Lady Nancy Reagan. She was was visiting Longfellow Elementary School in Oakland, California. And so she was asked by a schoolgirl, what should she do if she was offered drugs? The then First Lady responded, just say no. No. So this suggestion from Nancy Reagan soon became the clarion call for the adolescent drug prevention movement in the 1980s and beyond. And since that time, schools around the country have instituted programs like DARE and others. Our lesson tonight isn't about resisting drugs. However, I think there's a valuable principle here because I believe that there is a peddler of pain in our society here. And I'm not talking about prescription medication. I'm talking about the great enemy, Satan, Lucifer himself. Let's read about him in Revelation 12:12. He's trying to sell you his wares. He's trying to push his drug of choice, pain, sickness, on you. Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Listen to that. I've been reading through the New Testament again this year, and I just read through the book of Revelation, and much of it is a mystery, I have to admit. But there are certain verses in there that I really understand. One of them is Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We love this verse. And this is another one. The devil came down to you and he was full of great wrath. Why was he full of great wrath? Because he knew that Jesus had defeated him. But he wants to deceive. And it says because he knows that he has a short time. He knows that his time is short. And ultimately he is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Did you know that the devil right now is not in hell? Ultimately, he will be in hell. He will be thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. Right now, he's not in hell. Okay, that's a revelation for some of you. He knows that his time is short, so he's going to do anything he can to hinder the plan of God for your life. And that includes his job description that's found in John 10:10, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. This is the Wednesday night crowd. You've been coming to Healing Clinic for a long time, so you know this. That is him, his MO. That is how he's going to try to inflict his wrath upon mankind through stealing, through killing, through destroying. He is pushing pain. He's peddling punishment. He's selling sickness. He is dealing out despair. He's trafficking tragedy and slinging sorrow. Pardon my use of alliteration. That was just for me. I love it. I love alliteration. But those are the things he's selling. Those are the things he's trying to push your way. Let's think throughout the history of mankind for just a moment and talk about how he was attempting to do these things, and in some ways how he was successful in doing these things. Where do we see him first in Genesis, the book of Genesis? In the garden. We've heard great testimony and messages about that on Sunday mornings recently. We see him in the Garden of Eden deceiving Eve. We see him enslaving the children of Israel. These are just a few. We see him tormenting Job. You remember the story? Oh, Christians love Job. And everybody thinks they're like Job when they're going through stuff. And that it's their, you know, cross to bear or whatever. Oh, we love Job, man. One night we'll teach on Job around here and just shatter all of the myths around his life and the way that the enemy tormented him. But we do see that the enemy was tormenting him. Boils and all kinds of crazy stuff. We see Satan in the wilderness tempting Jesus, don't we? We see Satan plotting with Judas to betray Jesus. We see Satan filling Ananias and Sapphira's heart with lies, lies, lies. And we still see him today working in people's lives in order to destroy them. Satan, I told you, he's not in hell. The scripture tells us very plainly where he's at. Look in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan's plan in roaring around, walking about like a roaring lion, is to seek whom he may devour in order to steal, kill, and destroy. So when Lucifer the Candyman comes to your hood and he knocks on the window of your vehicle soliciting sickness, what do you do? Just say no. You were listening. I like it. And this is a scriptural principle, okay? James chapter 4 verse 7 is where we're going to camp out a little bit tonight. The scripture says, therefore, submit to God. Everybody say submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is a scripture you should endeavor to memorize. Write this on your heart. A lot of people quote this verse, and they'll say, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. There's a key before the resisting that must take place, must be very apparent, and that is the submitting to God. Because we saw, and even I think Pastor Matt mentioned this last week, the seven sons of Sceva tried to resist the devil, and the devil did not flee. The devils actually beat them up, ripped their clothes off. Not only were they hurt, but they were humiliated. So just in the resisting, there's no power unless there is the first submitting to God, as Lord, as Savior. Don't get it backwards. And don't think that just because you're resisting that the devil's going to flee. You must first submit to God. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's the order, all right? So submit to God first. Like what it says in James 4:7. Let's get a little loud here. So, James 4:7 in the message, excuse me. So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud.
No.
There we go. All right, somebody's participating. Yell a loud.
No.
No to the devil and watch him scamper. Watch him scamper. Send him off running. Comes about like a roaring lion and you're going to send him away. Like a scared puppy. And his bark is much louder than his bite, if you know your authority and you walk in it. What do we say about 1 Peter 5:8? Let's read 1 Peter 5:9. It comes after that. So you got to be sober, be vigilant. Know that he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 says this, and it echoes what James says. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. A couple things we see there is, number one, you are not alone. Everybody say that, I'm not alone. A lot of times when we're experiencing any type of symptoms of sickness or disease or even anything further, deeper than that, they may say it's terminal or whatever, you begin to think, yeah, well, I'm the only one. But realize that you're not alone. It says the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everyone has the potential to be a target for the enemy. Okay? Everyone has the potential to be a target for the enemy. But your job, when he comes around like a roaring lion, is to resist. Resist him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit to God, resist the devil, he flees. This word resist is an interesting word. It says in the Strong's Concordance, this is G436, for those of you who are, you know, biblical scholars. Anthistemi is the Greek word. It means to set against, to withstand, or vigorously oppose. Vigorously oppose. You see in that word resist, in the very definition of it, that the resisting is not something that's done passively. It's an active, it's a verb. You vigorously oppose. Listen to that phrasing there. I think in our culture, even as believers, even as spirit-filled believers who know our authority, who walk in it half the time, we put up with too much. We put up with too much. Have you found yourself putting up with some stuff? Oh, it's just a little old headache. It'll go away. I'll pop a couple ibuprofen. I'll be okay. Oh, you know, it's getting a little worse. Maybe I'll pop some Excedrin now. We put up with too much. The scripture says, resist the devil. And that's not just a passive, be healed in Jesus' name. Really, I mean, that's all we have. That's the fight we're going to put up. Be healed in Jesus' name. We put up with too much. It's like he's knocking on the window of our vehicle, selling sickness, and we're like, yeah, I'll have 3 packs, please. What's it going to cost me? Oh, a little bit of time off of work. Oh, it's going to cost me, a couple sick days. Yeah, I'll gladly pay that. It'll cost me some pain and torture. Yeah. Give me a couple slices of that. And we just take it. There's a mindset that naturally accepts sickness. We coddle it. We pet it, we sympathize or empathize with those who are under the weather. Yeah, you found yourself doing that, right? Oh, poor baby, you're sick. Oh, you don't feel well, you're dealing with this. And they're there. Sounds a lot like resisting to me, doesn't it to you? Sounds like we're putting up with his garbage. Sounds like he's pushing his drugs on us and we're not saying no. We're not resisting at all. We're gladly accepting it. What about when the enemy comes? Let's go beyond your physical health. What about when the enemy attacks your mind, your mental well-being? Oh, it's just a little worry, just a little anxiety. It's okay. Everybody deals with that. No. Resist. Resist. So these are some things, these mindsets about just coddling or putting up with it or, and I get it, like, okay, so, you know, your kids are sick or whatever, and you're like, well, I don't want to spread the germs, so keep them home from school, or, you know, I don't want to spread the germs, so don't bring them in church. And we got our sign at the, you know, the nursery thing, so don't bring them to the nursery because you're going to get the other kids sick, and, you know. And I get it. But if all we're doing was keeping our sick kids home, letting them watch Netflix or play games or sip on some chicken noodle soup, I'm telling you, church, we're not resisting. And how can we expect to experience God's healing power if we're not obeying the scriptures? We have a part. We have a part to play. God's grace has provided it. We can walk in authority. We have to exercise it. Some people, man, when sickness comes knocking, it's like we welcome it like a long-lost friend. Like, hey there, old pal, I haven't seen you in a while. Come on in. Lay down on the couch with me. Let's grab a box of tissues while we, you know, binge-watch This Is Us on Hulu. Like, let's, you know, let's hang out. You know, this is a great time, sick day off of work, man. We got 8 hours to finish, catch up on my favorite episode. You know. But if it gets serious now, if it goes to like the second day off and maybe the third day off where you're like, oh, it gets a little bit more serious, and, you know, then maybe we might break out our confession sheet. Maybe we remember that powerful lesson on healing that Pastor Nate taught a couple weeks ago, you know. Maybe we'll go back and revisit that if it gets too bad. But it's not so bad right now because it's just a little cold. You know, my voice is just a little funny, a little scratchy. So I can deal with this. Me and NyQuil will be okay. It's not resisting, folks. It's not vigorously opposing. It's probably not even opposing at all. It's more like accepting. Just say no. Be aggressive. I've used this illustration before, but it bears repeating. Imagine you're in bed at night. You're sleeping in your bed and you hear a strange noise outside your house. It's loud. It wakes you up immediately. You're a little groggy, but you know, wipe the sleep out of your eyes after your wife elbows you about 4 times and wakes you up, as is the case at my house. And then it gets a little serious because you start to hear hushed voices downstairs. And it's not your kids raiding the fridge. Somebody's in your house. Somebody that should not be in your house. What's your reaction? What's your expression? Do you invite them in and bake them a pie? Or do you introduce them to your friends Smith and Wesson? I know some of you would do that. I don't have those friends right now. Do you send them off with Rice Krispie treats and a cold glass of milk? Or do you chase them away with your taser? In my case, it would be like grabbing, you know, my kid's toy bat or lightsaber or something. But I would find some weapon to wield. Wouldn't you? Somebody's in your house that shouldn't be there. They're trying to steal from you. They're trying to take things that don't belong to them. They probably are armed and maybe even willing to take your life. This isn't a lesson on self-defense or how to, you know, protect your household. This is clearly just an analogy. It reminds me of an old story, though. Like, there's a lady who actually surprised a burglar in her kitchen. He was all loaded down with the things that he was about to steal, and she had no weapon and was all alone. So the only thing that she could think to do was quote scripture. So she holds up a hand and says, Acts 2:38. Burglar quakes in fear and just freezes, trembles, and she calls the police, and the cops arrive. The cops get there, and the burglar is still like just frozen in place. He is not moving. And they are, the cops are like shocked that this woman could do such a thing. And one of them asked the lady, like, how'd you do this? And the woman replied, well, I just quoted scripture. The cop turned to the burglar and said, "What was it that had you so afraid about the scripture?" And he is like, "Scripture? What scripture? She told me she had an axe in 2:38. That's a Barry Barber joke for you right there. Got that one for Peppa. But here's the deal, guys. Sickness is a burglar crossing the threshold of your body to steal your joy, steal your comfort, and possibly even your very life. Why would you welcome it as if it belongs? You wouldn't do that if somebody tried to burglarize your house. Why do you do it when the enemy tries to steal and kill and destroy your body? Resist. Tell the devil, "No, not today." Everybody say that. No, not today. Not ever. No means no. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. That word withstand is a translation of resist, to stand against, to vigorously oppose. Resist. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand or resist in the evil day. To say no. To stand against. And then look at this. Okay, so the deal with the armor of God is that you're not doing it clothed with your own strength or might. Colossians 2:15 puts it this way about principalities and powers. It talks about Jesus. It says, "Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." The translation says he basically marched the principalities and powers through the streets naked. And they were humiliated. Disarmed them. Robbing them of their power. Robbing them of their ability to harm you. So when you're resisting, you're not doing it in your own strength or might. That's where the submitting to God comes in from earlier. You're submitting to his power, and in submitting to his power, you are able to resist in his strength. And then Ephesians 4:27 says, "And do not give the devil a foothold." A foothold is a place, a seat, an opportunity. Don't give the enemy any opportunity to bring sickness upon you. If he knows that you'll just lay down and accept it, we just keep dishing it out. Because just like the peddler of painkillers, just keep prescribing, keep pushing them. Oh, they like those. They like that sickness. Give them more of it. We have to resist. Hopefully this is helping you tonight. Because I think, and I believe, because I've been susceptible myself, I believe we put up with far too much. What's that? That's the mindset. Did y'all hear that? He said zero tolerance. We've been too tolerant of the enemy's schemes. We've been too tolerant of a little headache here, a little hangnail there, a little cramp here or that, or these symptoms automatically come along with this thing. Like, no. Resist. Write that down. Zero tolerance. That's good, man. I should give you a microphone. Zero tolerance. Don't put up with anything. I love this this passage in Mark chapter 5. It's the story of the woman with the issue of blood, and we'll read this and then unpack some stuff. Mark 5:25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She's supposed to go to the physicians for help, okay? She's trying to resist in her own strength at this time. And yet she's seeing the physicians and suffering many things from them. I don't know if you've ever dealt with any type of treatment for any type of symptom or sickness or disease or whatever, but a lot of times you get worse. They began to prescribe some stuff, and now the thing that you did have isn't fixed, but now you have all of these other things that you didn't have before. You've got the constipation and the diarrhea all at the same time. I don't know how it's possible. Side effects may include da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you know that's suffering. I don't know if you've been there. She suffered many things from many physicians. And you know, I mean, they didn't even have modern medicine, so who knows what they were giving this lady. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. So here she hears about Jesus. What did she hear? That Jesus uses sickness to teach people a lesson. No. No. All the ridiculous stuff. What did she hear about Jesus? He's a healer. That every sick person that comes in contact with him in faith receives healing. They're better. And so she says, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now that's a statement of faith. Put a little more faith in her mouth. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Here's a woman. Put yourself in her shoes. She's dealt with a lot of pain and suffering. She's tried everything that she knows to do. So not only is she worse off physically, but she's probably worse off financially. Doctors are expensive. And so she hears about Jesus. She hears that he is the cure for her ailment. She hears that he can do something to fix this thing. And she has made up in her mind that all I got to do is touch his clothes. I don't even got to talk to him. I don't have to beg him. I don't have to say a litany of prayers. All I have to do is get close enough where I can reach out my hand and touch him. Now, it was basically illegal for her to be out in a crowd. She was considered unclean because of her condition. So she had to not only brave the crowd itself, that would be just, you know, a lot of pressure to get through, and she's weak. So to fight her way through that, she has to muster up some sort of fortitude to do so. But then she has to realize that if I get found out, I'm done. I could be stoned. Like, it's basically now or never. And basically what I see her doing is resisting this sickness that's taking place. Vigorously opposing. That's someone who's not just going to lie down, sit we here till we die kind of mentality. That's someone who is going to vigorously oppose this sickness. You see, because she tried everything she knew to do, but then she hears about Jesus. Now, we're on the opposite. We're on the other side of this thing. We know about Jesus. So many times, though, we put up with stuff. We try all the other things. Even though we know about Jesus and his healing power, we don't do what we know to do because we're following the natural course of this world system. Put up with it. We'll go to the doctor. And if it gets really bad, then we'll start exercising our faith and authority. I can't be the only one. Does this resonate with anybody? What does she do? She fights her way through the crowd. She overcomes the fear of punishment or death. And she touches his clothes. She makes a demand on the power that Jesus has made available. Her faith activated this. Jesus had no idea what was even happening. He didn't have a premonition, not that we know of, a vision or a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom that some lady's going to come up to you today and you got to heal her. No. She heard about him. She applied her faith. She resisted. Now again, we're on the other side of this thing. We know what's been made available to us through the finished work of the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's ours. Healing belongs to us. But we're letting Satan peddle his wares. Well, what's my word against the enemy? When you yell a loud no to the devil, when you just say no, all of heaven backs you up. Listen to this. Mark 3:13, it says, "And he went up on the mountain, he called to him those who those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons." Remember those principalities and powers we were talking about earlier? He gave his disciples power to cast them out and to heal sickness. Okay, three chapters later, Mark 6:12, we see it in action. So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Jesus commissioned his disciples. He gave them power. He gave them authority. They acted upon said power, said authority, and they got results that Jesus told them they would get. Nothing has changed. We have his word. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. He's the author of sickness and disease. That's one of his tactics, to steal, kill, and destroy. Therefore, if he flees, the sickness, the disease, the pain, the torment flees along with him. Now, a year or so ago, and I'm not going to go into, you know, this whole thing about the issue I was facing with my back a year ago, 2 years ago, I forget the time frame now, but there came a point, I had been dealing with this pain in my back, sciatic nerve pain, and some of you know what that's like, for 9 months to a year, and I felt a lot like this, the woman with the issue of blood, and the fact that I was pretty much trying everything. So that, what I talked about earlier, that's my story, you know. Try everything, and then all the while thinking I'm in faith, thinking I'm exercising authority, but really it was just going through the motions. And I can say that looking back on it. Like, if you talk to me in the moment, I'd say the right things, and I would tell you I'm standing in faith, but really I was wavering. Just, you know, one day I'm really believing, you know, and if Pastor Susie encouraged me, like, my faith was really high. But the next day, when that sciatic just cuts you in the back, am I really going to be healed? And blah, blah, blah. And you start to say all that stuff out of your mouth, and double-minded man, and you see where this is going. At one point, working here at the church, and I am just at this point where I have had it, you know, like enough is enough kind of thing. So I thought I was alone here at the church, and so I go in the back hallway, and I am just yelling as loud as possible, like, you know, just rebuking and resisting and yelling aloud, no, and just like, just going after it, you know. I won't even dare to reenact that, because you'll be afraid. As was someone who actually was there in the building, or came into the building, and it was Miss Terry, came to work that day. She goes, I hear her, "Nate, are you okay? Are you all right?" She had thought I had fallen or something. I don't know. Fallen and I can't get up. But I'm just like, no, I'm mad. mad at the enemy, and I'm not putting up with this anymore, you know? I had gotten to a Popeye point. You know what I'm talking about? You seen Popeye? A certain point in every episode, he reaches this tipping point. And he says, it's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. And he downs a whole can of spinach in one gulp and just wails on his tormentors after he flexes his muscles one time. That anchor on his arm is like, poof. We have to get to the point where enough is enough. And the thing is, you know where that point is? As soon as symptoms come knocking on your door. Because if it's not, you're not resisting. If it takes such an onslaught of the enemy's tactics to get you to, you know, man up or woman up and gulp that spinach, figuratively speaking, then you haven't been resisting. You haven't been in faith. You haven't been obedient to God's word. He's given us every tool and tactic we need to walk in divine health and healing. You don't have to be sick. Symptoms may try to come. But it's just like a thought. You say in Matthew 6, take no thought saying. But what do? Symptoms come. Take that. Stings a little bit. It hurts a little bit. But yet, you know, we pet it. My little headache. This headache here lets me take a nap in the day. Feels nice. You see? It's a slippery slope, guys. He's given us authority, though. And we have to exercise it. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, harm you, cause you sickness, despair, tragedy, torture, pain. It's in the exercising of our authority that we can walk in divine health and healing. Apart from it, we'll just be accepting and allowing sickness and disease to wreak havoc in our bodies until we get to, you know, the point where we've had all we can stand. John 2:14, I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. When you exercise your authority in Christ, you are not endeavoring to overcome. It's not a battle that you're currently fighting. You are enforcing the enemy's defeat. It may feel like a battle. It really, you know, it may feel tough. And that's why I said earlier, a couple weeks ago, you get your crazy faith friends. Let them support you. Let them build you up. Let them tell you, hey, why are you putting up with this junk? What are you doing? What are you saying to exercise your authority? Have you told the devil, no, not today, not ever? Never, ever again? What are you doing to resist? That should be a question. You got the healing line, and people come up and say, well, I'm dealing with this. And man, we're quick to lay hands, aren't we? Quick to hikimoshundai, and we think, man, we got the answer. What, maybe our prayer partners should ask this question. They come up and they say, man, my back is killing me. I got the sciatic. And they should say, well, what are you doing to resist? I could lay hands on you. You could be healed. But if you're not resisting, it's going to come back. It'll come back and maybe worse. And then you'll start blaming God. But God's given you everything you need to exercise authority over the enemy. He's given you his power, his victory. He's already disarmed principalities and powers. They can't, I mean, they come knocking on your door. But if they've been disarmed, they have no weapons. You're the one with all the power in this relationship between you and your sickness. You're the one in control here. Why aren't you putting up a fight? Now, I'm telling you all this. This comes from a heart of love, and I want to help you, and it's harsh, but I really, I love the people at Good News Church, but I needed somebody to kick me in the butt. Hard, like, I could take it. Nate, you're thinking about doing surgery? And not in a condemning way, like, oh, you're some man of God, you are. No. Like, what are you thinking, man? Don't you know that God is the healer? And trust me, I'm not discounting doctors or physicians in any way. I love them. But if I'm not actively resisting other than going to see them, then I'm not putting my faith in Christ. I think that, you know, the doctors are there to help us. I believe they are. But not at the expense of discounting our faith in Christ. I hope you feel convicted tonight. I don't want you to feel condemned. I hope you'll be inspired to stand up to sickness and say no when the enemy tries to solicit sickness and offer you some symptoms. You don't have to take it. And you say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, just like that little girl asked Nancy Reagan, what do I do if someone tries to offer me drugs? I'm telling you tonight, if the enemy tries to offer you symptoms, just say no. Say no to sickness. And again, not just to, you know, be healed. Go along. And I'm not saying you have to get to the other extreme either. It's not about volume. It's about a conviction that what you say is backed up by heaven. You don't have to get loud if heaven's loud for you. But, you know, if it, that makes you feel better, yell, scream. Sometimes that's cathartic. It is. Stand up, let me pray for you. Father, may we be reminded when symptoms try to come our way, what are we doing to resist? May we be reminded to say no. May we be reminded to vigorously oppose the enemy's schemes and tactics. And that applies to every single one of them, from his deception to his lies to his temptation to sickness and disease and many other things that he tries to use to steal, kill, and destroy. We declare today, not today, Satan. Not ever. You are under our feet. You are defeated. You've been paraded through the streets naked. You've been humiliated. You have been defeated in the name of Jesus. And we give you no place. There is no opportunity. There is no foothold. There is no opportunity for you to bring symptoms our way. We resist in the name of Jesus. We submit to you, Father. And then we resist the enemy in the name of Jesus. We run him off. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now you do that at your house. You do that for your body. Walk in this. Walk in this. Live in this. You can walk in divine health and healing. I'm not saying it from a point of I've experienced it. What I'm saying, because I don't teach from my experience. I preach from the Word of God that's living and active. And that's what the Word says. Resist. Amen. Go and be blessed.